I just want to take a second and thank Policy Genius. They're supporting today's episode of Success Story. I know we all have kids, we all have families we want to take care of, and I personally checked something off major on my to-do list, life insurance. It's a tough topic, it's really hard to think about, but it's so important. And the hard part was sorting through all the options. Luckily, I found Policy Genius. Policy Genius is an online insurance marketplace that makes getting life insurance surprisingly easy. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Now, knowing my family's protected brings me incredible peace of mind. Don't put off this important decision. Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Eufy is sponsoring today's video. They reached out to me. I tested out their video lock. It is a game changer. I'm going to paint a picture for you for why I'm so excited to work with them. So, you're getting home, your arms are loaded with groceries or packages or boxes or everything, and your keys are in your pocket. This drives me nuts. This happens all the time. I upgraded to the Eufy video lock. Fingerprint, tap, I'm inside. And honestly, I also feel way safer. It's got this awesome built-in camera, so whether it's a package delivery or late night Uber order, I see exactly who's there right from my phone. There are no more mystery knocks. And the best part, this thing was such a breeze to set up. There's no wires, there's no drilling. There's also no monthly subscription fees. So if you are done fumbling with your keys, because I definitely am, search for Eufy Video Lock or head over to eufyofficial.com/video lock. Your front door, your sanity. Welcome to Success Story, the most useful podcast in the world. I'm your host, Scott D. Clary. The Success Story podcast is part of the HubSpot Podcast Network and the Blue Wire Podcast Network. The HubSpot Podcast Network has incredible podcasts like My First Million. My First Million is hosted by Sam Parr and Sean Puri. They feature famous guests. They discuss how companies made their first million and then some. They brainstorm new business ideas based on the hottest trends and opportunities in the marketplace. Here are some of the topics they talk about. If you like any of these, you will love the show. Three profitable business ideas that you should start in 2022. Drunk business ideas that could make you millions. Asking the founder of Grammarly how he built a $13 billion company, or SaaS companies that anybody can start. If these topics are up your alley, go check out My First Million. Listen to it wherever you listen to your podcasts. Today, my guest is Etel Patel. He is the co-founder and CEO of Moodrex. Moodrex is a Y Combinator-backed crypto investment platform. He brings over 10 years of entrepreneurial experience, finance experience. He has built multiple tech-driven applications. He's been a founder and an entrepreneur. This is his fourth venture. He graduated in 2011 from India's most prestigious school of engineering, IIT Bombay. He joined Deutsche Bank as a senior business analyst post-graduation. He worked in FX risk and margining desk and led the product management as well as business development wings of a real-time risk management portfolio. He previously co-founded Niffler, a $1 million funded startup by Safe Partners. Niffler was acquired by Tapso, where he led the product team to build out Tapso's core infrastructure and app. So he has built several tools. His experience spans finance and tech. We spoke about what he's doing at Moodrex. We spoke about his passion for helping people achieve their potential by allowing them to achieve financial freedom. And him and his co-founders have bought into the idea and evangelized the idea that crypto, DeFi, Web3, those are the ways to get there. So they built Moodrex as a way to help people achieve that financial freedom. Moodrex basically solves for the investment risk and the investment barrier to entry in crypto investment by bucketing different asset classes. So you can invest in buckets of crypto, in buckets of NFTs, in buckets of metaverse projects, top projects, so that it removes a lot of the complexities in terms of investing. So hopefully if you remove the complexities, then of course you can invest easier. So we spoke about his backstory, his origin story, some of the reasons why he founded Moodrex, some of the things that he hopes to accomplish with the platform. We spoke about building trust. We spoke about his journey through YC. We spoke about building the business in a very competitive and constantly evolving market. Then we spoke about some crypto topics. We spoke about the future of crypto, the future of NFTs, the applications of tokens, whether or not NFTs are just a fad. We spoke about new use cases for crypto blockchain technology that haven't even been explored yet. So a ton of great business lessons in a blue ocean, emerging ocean, highly innovative environment, a highly innovative industry, as well as some great crypto topics from somebody that's lived in it for several years. He has a copy of the Bitcoin white paper right beside his desk. So let's jump right into it. This is Edul Patel. He is the co-founder and CEO of Moodrex.
Okay, got it. So I graduated from this school called as IIT Bombay, based out of India. It's a tier one educational engineering university. Graduated in 2011. Post that, went to Deutsche Bank, worked over there for a couple of years in the trading and risk teams. Did a lot of work with the US and India desks, worked on risk management, and also saw a lot of the banking side of Deutsche. Did that for a couple of years, then eventually left that to start my first company called as Niffler. We were building a hyperlocal deals and discounts app, something like a Groupon for India. Did that for a couple of years, raised $1 million from a tier one VC fund, built out an office in Bombay and Pune, hired 30, 40 odd people. Eventually got acquired by this company called as Tabzo, which was building like a WeChat for India. Over there joined in, became head of product, did that for 3 odd years. Tabzo eventually got acquired by Amazon and is now part of the Amazon Pay ecosystem in India. And as for me, I couldn't see myself go and work at Amazon. So definitely decided to go back and start thinking about what just am I looking to do new. Next. Yeah, of course.
Okay, gosh.
So actually, in fact, and now as a result, in 2017, we started Moodrex and we'll go deeper into it and talk about Moodrex a bit. But to be honest, as myself, I've always been like a builder throughout. Like mm-hmm. even in school, did multiple things. And then when I was in university, did a bunch of startups over there. Small things that we would try out for three, four months. Did a lot of work in core. So my background is material science engineering. So did a lot of work on nanotechnology, on shape memory alloys, and eventually realized that although the research was nice and cool, But definitely wanted to do something that was more real world and had some real world applications. So as a result, just dropped into doing this full time.
I guess Moodrex, like it's been how many startups before you started this venture? It's been a few, obviously.
Yeah, Moodrex was number 4.
Number 4. So this is not your first rodeo at all.
Not my first rodeo at all.
Let's talk about why you wanted to build this particular product, this particular company, and also and walk me through the origins of the company, because I think that's also very interesting. Yeah. Because I'm just looking on Crunchbase now. So obviously you've raised some money. You're a YC company as well. So walk me through where your head was at that prompted you to go into, and actually, let me also ask this. How do you classify Moodrex? Is it do you classify it as a crypto, an investment tool? What is your classification? What's your category that you, is a crypto investment?
So Moodrex is a crypto investing platform. And when I say crypto investing platform, you're not like the products that help you just buy and sell Bitcoin and Ethereum. Mm-hmm. What we've done is we've created like a mutual fund style layer for investing in crypto. Over the course of the last few years, the number one problem that we realized that retail investors had was that there were too many choices and there were just too many tokens coming in and this coming in and that coming in. And as a result, if they wanted to really create long-term wealth, they weren't able to find products to invest in. And that's where Moodrex comes in. And that's the avatar of Moodrex that you see right now. But of course, there is a long backstory to all of this. So
yes, let's do it.
and I can start with there's literally right over here at the side of me is the Bitcoin white paper. It's a large, huge frame that we've got of the Bitcoin white paper right next to me, and I actually read that white paper first in about 2011, right after I graduated from college, and at that point in time, it just seemed cool and interesting and something unique that a few nerds were trying out. The second time I heard about Bitcoin was 2013. And then this time I was in Deutsche, and this was the first time, you know, BTC had crossed about 100, and me and a couple of my friends were discussing whether we should buy BTC or not. To be honest, we did try a lot, but there was really no way for us to purchase BTC. Like crypto was way hands off. There was no easy way to buy our first crypto, so we let it be, and missed out on that boat. In 2015, BTC touched about I think it has 1,000 momentarily for the first time, and that's when me and a few of my friends started a thread and an email thread that's still alive and kicking that says, are we too late? Have we missed the boat? ? And every single, a whole bunch of people joined in and they started to, you know, post their comments. And now it's kind of sort of become a yearly ritual where every year someone or the other posts on that thread again saying that, have we missed the boat? ? Or is it too late?
Every year.
Every single year, right? But having said that, 2017 is when, you know, things started to change a lot for me in crypto. At that point in time, I was deciding to leave Tabzo, start my own. And me and my co-founders, we were looking at the investing space, and the wealth tech space very closely from an India perspective as such back then. Our general broad vision was that we wanted to help people get to financial independence faster. And that kind of sort of came from the thought that, see, at the end of the day, you know, all of us know this Maslow's hierarchy, right? Where at the lower end, you've got food, clothing, shelter, all your basic requirements. So only after those things are satisfied is when you can actually realize your human potential and build out and do things that are really creative and that will help you go ahead and that will help the human race advance, right? So that R&B felt that for that base to get done, people must get to financial independence first. Because if you're worried about money to help get you food, clothing, or shelter, or some of the other needs, then you'll never be able to focus on that. So our overarching mission was to help more and more and more people get to financial independence. And really the only way that you could do it is if you could help people manage their money better, and you could help people, you know, reinvest their funds, make their assets liquid, make them available when it's required, and so on and so forth, right? Like do all the financial engineering and make sure that their funds are available when they need it, and if they need it more, then they could like access credit and so on and so forth very easily. And to be honest, we were looking at different ways to do it, and that's when we stumbled upon crypto, I think, for the fourth time in my life. And by then I was completely sold on crypto, right? I went down and read white papers, I went down and read more about Ethereum, about Bitcoin, about the philosophy of crypto, about why Web3 was important. And all of that. And by then I was completely sold. And the reason why I was completely sold was because crypto made money fungible and it helped us move money around in a way that no other financial framework in the past did. And it was simply because of that I felt that, okay, if this is going to happen, then it is just going to make things more seamless and more efficient. It's going to make things more seamless and more efficient. Eventually the world will move over here. So back in 2017, like we were four founders, all of us had eventually came to this conclusion and had this very strong belief that crypto is the way the world will end up transacting 5, 10, 20 years down the line. And if we could do anything to make people get to financial independence faster, then crypto, the technology behind it, would be the fastest way to get people there. And hence we said that, okay, let's just directly jump right in and make that the mission of our lives. So that's what we decided to jump into and start doing. And effectively, with the vision of getting people to financial independence, the goal was that, okay, if crypto is the way forward, then let's try and get more and more and more people into crypto. The problem with that is that, of course, there are 1,000 challenges, right? Like it's an asset class like no ever. It's
regulatory, for the first time.
Yeah, there are regulatory compliances, user adoption problems, technology problems, user interface problems. Just getting people to convert their USD or INR or GBP into Bitcoin is like a massive overhead, right? And we decided to solve those problems one by one, and take it ahead. And today, Mudrex is a product that serves over 100,000 users. We've got users from close to 80 different countries, US, Europe, Southeast Asia, and so on and so forth being some of them. We are working very hard with regulatory with regulators around the world to try and get compliances ready. And of course, we built our own on-ramp layers. And on top of that, we built our own investment products, these baskets that users can invest in. And we'll go deeper into investing and what people
do. Yeah. So, I have to say, like, just off from your story, I love your vision. And I think it's a very noble vision. And I think that that's something that, regardless of what business or thing you're building, like how mission driven your company is something that anybody can learn from. Because I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't think at that level. Like the fact that you are thinking at the level of, like, it's such a macro vision, but it's such an important vision. Like, you want to enable people financial independence, but you want to allow them to fulfill all their needs and all their basic requirements so they can, like, reach their maximum human potential. Like, that's a really interesting, and it's a really noble thing that you're doing. And now you just sort of build, after you have that thing that drives you, then you build the thing that's going to allow you to facilitate that. And that's what you've done. And I apologize. Correct. I cannot roll my R's like you can. So I keep saying Mudrex. Like, you say it like Mudrex. Like, I can't say it like that. I can't roll my R's, no, but regardless.
I think however you're saying is perfectly fine.
You're very kind.
So there's actually a very interesting story behind why we named it Mudrex. Yeah.
The first version of, so you had this vision, you understood that crypto, you bought into crypto as a construct, as something that is going to move the world forward. Now you're trying to figure out how to do that exactly, and through like these bucketed simple investment options. But anyway, yes, go ahead. Where does the name come from?
Yeah, so going back again to 2017, again, we are a bunch of four founders who were focused on building something in India. So we said that, okay, let's try and first solve for this problem in India, and then we'll take it to the world, right? And because we were going with that focus, Mudrex comes from two words. It's Mudra Exchange. Mudra literally means currency in Sanskrit. Okay. So Mudrex literally translates to currency exchange for all practical purposes. But yeah, the thought process was that, okay, let's start small. Let's start with the jurisdiction that matters the most to us, which are the folks around us. And he said that we'll build out a cryptocurrency exchange in India. So we literally started building the Coinbase for India in January 2018. So like almost 4 years ago now. And, build out our app, build out our order matching engine, build out everything from scratch. And we're just about to launch to our beta users. So we launched to our alpha users in March 15th, 2018, and we're just about to launch to our beta users. And literally 1 week before we could do that, the central bank in India comes in and bans crypto trading in the country. And effectively, with our product ready, our users ready, we just couldn't launch, right? And when that happened, we decided to go back to the drawing board and say that, okay, if the central bank is not going to be open and not going to allow this immediately, what do we do? What kind of product do we build out? And that's actually, in hindsight, that's one of the best things that happened to us, because at that point in time, we said that, okay, let's focus on the trading and exchange side. But while doing that process, we realized that, okay, trading and exchange and traders are just a very, very small set of the entire ecosystem. When we are looking at retail investors, they are looking for simplification of a lot of things. And the problems that we saw people were facing in India were the same problems that people were facing world over, globally, right? So we decided to, instead of building out an India-focused product, just scale it up and do it slightly more globally. As a result of that, we reconfigured, set up our HQ in Delaware, and with this vision went to Y Combinator. YC, of course, accepted us, and so we were part of the Y Combinator 2019 winter cohort. Launched out our alpha version of the product then, and did our first kind of our angel round with YC when we raised 500K. After that, did like a seed round in 2020, where we raised, a pre-seed round in 20, where we raised 250K, then a seed round earlier last year in August 2021, and now we've just closed a pre-series A as well. So have like
a bunch of rounds now. Congratulations. Thanks a lot. That's amazing.
Thanks a lot, right? It's actually great to find believers in your vision who are well-aligned and with, over close to about 4 years of now executing relentlessly at this problem one after the other. I think that confidence clearly shows in a lot of folks.
By the way, are you doing a Rubik's Cube while
you're doing it? It's right there in my hand.
You're a smart guy. I would be so distracted. I could not do that. Okay, so as you go to YC, and I'm actually curious about this because obviously there's been a lot of money in the space, and there's been a lot of companies that are trying to figure out. And actually, I'm curious as well because you know the landscape. When I see crypto and I see crypto companies, I feel like there's a lot of companies trying to do what you're doing, but I also feel like a lot of them may have not done it properly. There's security risks, a lot of security risks. You see a lot of hacks, you see a lot of compromises. So, first question is, how did you solve for the security component? And then, second question, or you can answer them with whatever order you want, really. I'm just curious. How did YC pick you out of probably the million other crypto projects that approach them? Because YC are very smart investors. They're a very smart group, so they don't bet on, I'm assuming, like 99% of the crypto projects that probably approached them over the past few years. So speak to that.
Correct. So let's actually take a step back and first talk about what Mudrex does and what's our vision. How are we solving this problem, right?
And how are
So
you different too as than
correct.
others?
Correct. So when we talk about the world of investing, the entire world invests in broadly three kinds of products. On the one end, there is the fixed income product, which is like the savings account in your bank that, gives you protection of capital, but a small interest yield on top, right? Like for the US, that's close to zero, but for the rest of the world, there is still some amount of bank savings that you can get, right? That's typically where the most number of users in the world are. Like everyone has a bank account, everyone gets a small yield, and everyone is kind of sort of happy with, like okay with that, like not really happy, but okay with that. Then the second kind, which actually has the most number of users and the most number of AUM, is the market-linked returns kind of sort of products, which means that you are putting in money in index funds, in mutual funds that are growing as the market grows. And of course, they fall as the market falls, right? And then on the other end, there is a third side, which is the market-hedged products, which are essentially hedge funds that only the ultra-rich have access to. And that part is something that a lot of people aspire to get to.
I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more: supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins. And I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it, each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform: accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win: efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/ScottClary. That's netsuite.com/ScottClary. Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs, and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a quality qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours. That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family-owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Think back to your last few days in the office. Did any of them leave you feeling really accomplished? Not the kind of day where you're running around like crazy, but where you've made real progress on something that matters. Because being busy doesn't always mean being productive, and I bet you we've all been there, and maybe it's time to rethink what it means to get things done. Today's episode is sponsored by Belay, and what they help you do is, instead of getting sucked into emails and to-do lists, they help you delegate tasks and focus on big goals. They can connect you with top-notch US-based talent who are ready to take on those time-consuming tasks that bog you down. Let's be real. There are way more important things you could be doing than bookkeeping or wrangling a packed inbox. They have virtual assistants to handle all of those pesky administrative tasks or accounting professional to take care of all your financials. But here's the best part. You don't have to waste weeks searching for the right person. Belay's personalized matching service works quickly, sometimes matching you with the right talent to take stuff off your plate in under a week. Are you ready to try a different way of working? Check out Belay's list of the top 25 things you can delegate to a virtual assistant. It might just change your business and your life. Text SUCCESS, that's SUCCESS, to 55123 to get the list and to start transforming your to-do list with Belay.
But never can, because either they don't have the financial limitations or there are some investment amount requirements. Or to be honest, those products are very sophisticated for the average retail investor, where the job of a hedge fund is actually to reduce your risk while maintaining returns. Mutual funds and so on and so forth continue to just give you returns along with the risk with it, right? So broadly, that's the spectrum of investing, right? And if you think of how most of the current crypto companies are positioned, that they are saying that come in and buy Bitcoin, come in and buy Ethereum, come in and buy Solana, and so on and so forth, right? Which is effectively like saying come in buy Apple stock, come in buy Google stock, come in buy Facebook stock. And like, it's very well understood now over the last 40, 50, 60 years of investing landscape that's grown, that single stock picking is actually the worst thing that you can do. Like, the best thing that you can do is investing in a diverse index, doing that regularly and letting that money compound, right? Mm-hmm. And effectively what we are saying is that if this is the largest, this market link products is the largest bucket. So over there, what we are looking for is some kind of structured products that users can invest in. And effectively, those structured products is what Mudrex has built. So to give you an example, typically a ton of people invest in the S&P 500. Like, the S&P 500 is the most invested index in the world. And S&P 500 is basically a simple rule that says that pick the top 500 stocks, weigh them by market cap, and put in your money in that weightage in the top 500 ones. What we've done is we've created a similar basket for crypto called as Crypto Blue Chip, which are the top 5 crypto tokens by market cap in proportion to market cap. We call this a coin set. Just like how there is the S&P 500, there might be, let's say, a bank index that just talks about banks that you can invest in, right? We've created a similar DeFi index on Mudrex. There might be a pharma index on NSE that, or on the NASDAQ that you might want to invest in. We've created a similar pharma basket on Mudrex. So what we've done is that we've created these baskets that make it very easy for you to invest. So now when you come to Mudrex, you no longer click on and say that I want to buy Bitcoin. You say that, okay, I want to invest in crypto in general. And if I want to invest in crypto in general, the new crypto stars or crypto blue chip are the baskets that I should invest in. Or you say that I believe that metaverse is going to be the next big thing in crypto. So there's a metaverse basket that you pick and choose that you invest in, right? Once you do this, the first thing that you do is you remove the overhead of decision making from the user. And very few people understand this, but the reason why retail investors hate doing stock picking is because they need to go back and decide every single time whether it's the right time to enter, is the right time to exit, is the right time to rebalance. And let's be honest, most people don't have that ability. And if you look at one term that's very popularly thrown around in crypto, it's called as DYOR, do your own research. Like, come on, guys, let's be serious. If someone had the ability to do their own research and invest, everyone would be millionaires, right? Like, the fact that people can't do their own research.
That's the inhibitor. That's like exactly. That's the gatekeeper into crypto. And that's what's stopping, you know, your grandmother from investing.
Exactly. And that's why once we simplify and create these baskets, you now no longer need to do the research about the tokens behind it. What you need to do is directionally make a decision. Like, and at the end of the day, picking all stocks is broadly just placing a bet. You directly need to take a decision whether crypto is going to go up or not, metaverse is going to go up or not, NFT is going to go up or not, and then accordingly place your allocation that everything else Mudrex takes care of. At the back end, we rebalance them on a monthly basis. We make sure that the right tokens come in and the right tokens move out. And the best part is the custody of all the tokens is always in your wallet. So it's not like we are pooling money, taking it and putting it in our account and then doing all the transactions here. All the tokens are always in your custodial wallet that we have with Mudrex. So that part actually makes the entire journey super, super seamless. So that's the
security part too. If so.
Correct.
Okay, I understand. So people are actually owning and holding their own tokens. So when they make an investment, they're actually purchasing those tokens, so they have like the keys to those tokens that are sitting in their wallet.
They don't have the keys to those tokens directly. The tokens themselves are stored custodially in the background. They can access them via their username and password, deposit and withdraw it anywhere. Because those challenges are also significant challenges. Like, the reason why my grandma can't invest is because she doesn't understand what the fuck a password or a secret key is that you need to put into to get access to your Ethereum wallet, right? Like, those user interface challenges are problematic. So those are some of the problems that we are trying to solve. And saying that, okay, this is the first product that we've started with, that's bang in the middle, which is market linked products. And from here, we want to venture out either side. On the one end, we are launching a new product called as Mudrex Interest Account, which is similar to BlockFi Nexo, but instead of actually giving money to centralized entities at the back, we use all the power of DeFi, all the power of yield farming, all the power of yield accruals over there, and have packaged a product that will try and give users 14% interest across all their cryptos. So if you've got BTC, you'll get 14% interest on your BTC value. You've got Ethereum, you'll get 14% interest on your Ethereum value. All interest accrues on a daily basis directly into your Mudrex crypto wallet. And we think that that can itself be a large game changer. In parallel, on the market hedged side, we are working with large institutional clients and you know, family offices and HNIs to try and help them figure out how they can invest in crypto without the risk of crypto. And over there, we are working on a separate project and product with our in-house quant team that tries to give you Bitcoin returns at 1/4 the volatility of Bitcoin. So effectively, that's how we see the landscape of investing. There is market, there's kind of fixed income, market linked, market hedged. Fixed income and market linked are broadly what all of retail is after. We started with market linked. That product has essentially exploded. We've been growing at about 100% month over month since the last 8-9 months that product has been out in life. And then of course this new fixed income product is you know, poised to make us grow even faster.
So walk me through the experience with YC. So how did you obviously you differentiated yourself in major ways, but there was still probably a massive amount of due diligence that YC Correct. Did. And the reason why I just think it's so interesting is because I know a lot of crypto companies and I know a lot of them aren't going through YC, right? Correct. They're raising money, alternative methods, like they're not going Correct. Through traditional seed. Like you lived in this landscape, so you know all the different funding methods that people have gone through to try and raise money for their companies. So how did you get into YC? And also, why did you choose to go this route? Because I'm sure you could have found money other places too.
Correct. So, you know, let's just roll back and imagine the time period that we were in, right? Yeah. So when we applied to YC, this was August 2018. So 4-5 months after the BTC crash, where everyone who had come into crypto was already wiped out. What we call now as the winter, the crypto, last crypto winter was completely there. The ice age has started to come and everything was frozen over. And we had just launched our product, right? And we were speaking to individual users. And every user that we spoke to, and like our first 100, our first 1,000 users were literally individuals that we spoke to on Discord channels, on Reddit groups, where we saw what they were, what issues they were facing, messaged them and saying that, hey, this seems like a problem that we can solve. Why don't you come and try out MudraX and give us feedback, and so on and so forth. About 90% of those first 100 users, the reply that they would give us is, why do I trust you? Why are you not a scam?
It's an obvious thing, right? Yeah, it is, because there's so many scams. And you layer on investment plus crypto, it's like red flags going up everywhere.
Exactly, right? And investment and crypto, and there is this new startup that a bunch of guys staying far away from me are doing, and like it's all very weird, right? And this is August 2018 when ICOs were crashing day after the other and there were scams everywhere and so on and so forth, right? So we realized very early in our journey that at the end of the day, when you're asking someone to invest in a product that you've created, basically what you're saying to them is that, hey boss, listen, trust me, I will take care of your money. So at the end of the day, you are not in the investing business, you're actually in the business of building trust. And anything and everything that you can do to build more and more and more trust with your client and with your customer, that will help them build more confidence in what you are doing. And as a result, it will help them invest more, in which case you'll be able to help them grow their wealth more and get them to financial independence faster, right? So the game at the end of the day is that you need to build trust. Now, trust, unlike most other things in life, can't be built with money, is extremely long-term to build and extremely easy to lose, right? And the only way that you can really build trust is by A, providing a world-class experience, B, affiliating with entities that other people trust, and C, of course, making sure that you are consistent, reliable, transparent, and you know, all of the other base filters. So the first thing that we wanted was that if for people to trust us, we very quickly realized that if people had to trust us, then there need to be some large entity that they trust in general, and we should be affiliated with them. And as a result, we applied for YC and Techstars and multiple of these accelerators. Now, the product that we were building and the kind of team that we had were so unique. So just to give you a background, I told you, for me, this was my, like, MudraX was my fourth startup, right?
Yeah.
I have three other co-founders, and actually this was their second, third or fourth startup as well. And all of them come from a very rich history of building consumer tech products in India and globe. So for example, my CTO Alankar, he used to work in the security team and in the infrastructure team at Twitter, helped scale that up, came back to India, started a credit lending startup, scaled that up, sold that business, started MudraX. my VP of DeFi and my VP of engineering, Rohit and Prince, both of them have started multiple startups in the past. So like we came with like really tier one pedigree. And that of course helped apply for YC. The product and our approach and our vision was very unique and very different from most other people were doing. And as a result also that helped apply in YC. And for us, it was a win-win, right? Because once you get affiliated with YC, we get the trust and effectively that label saying that Y Combinator backed Mudrex essentially solves for most of the trust problems. So just to anecdotally tell you,
it's true.
Anecdotally to tell you, before getting into YC, as I said, 90% of people would tell us, are you scamming me? What is the guarantee that you will not run away with my money? After getting into YC, 90% of people were actually more than willing to try the product house and give us feedback because they clearly saw that, okay, these guys are trying to do something cool. So the mentality completely changed. And that phase transition, I think was the most important thing that happened for us. We could now suddenly rub off the trust of YC into everything that we would do. And that
helped. Very smart. I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, HubSpot. Now, as a leader, you're always on the lookout for more ways to arm yourself with knowledge. The books, the seminars, and most importantly, the podcasts that help you make the best possible decision for you, your company, your customers. Because when you know more, you can apply more and you can grow. With HubSpot CRM platform, you can store, track, manage, and report on all the tasks and activities that make up your relationships with customers. With a bird's eye view over all your customer interactions, HubSpot empowers your decision-making like never before, so you can give your business and your customers all the good you've got. Learn how to make your business grow better at HubSpot.com. Very, very smart. Now, even after you get the trust in YC, there's a lot of money flowing into crypto, and obviously you still have to differentiate yourself. So how did you differentiate yourself and sort of stand out? Because you have the trust of people who know about you, but how do you stand out and how do you attract new users that are early crypto adopters that are just purchasing individual stocks or coins per se? Like that's like, how do you target how do you attract the people that aren't comfortable with crypto, and how do you educate them and convert them over into investing into these buckets?
Correct.
What's the business strategy?
So to be honest, till about November, we weren't doing any marketing. Like we got to about 85,000 users with $0 in marketing spend, almost every single one of them coming via referrals or via a lot of the content initiatives we did. So we clearly understood two things were important. Firstly, a phenomenally good user experience was important. And if that coupled with steady, consistent, safe way of growing your wealth, what happened with users, they would automatically refer people, right? Because investing has, if you go back and think about it, investing has always been social. Like you learn about which stocks you invest in because your friends are talking about it, right? Or someone is saying that I invested here or I invested in this mutual fund, or your uncle tells you that this is what I have been doing with my money and so on and so forth. So investing has always been usual, always been social, and people talk about the products that they use if those products help them out. So our first focus was always in making sure that our product needs to be really rock star so that our users really love their experience so that they go out and tell their friends about us. So about half of the users that we've acquired till date are purely through referral. That people tell their friends about us, and that's how we got this large organic spread. And the second thing that we worked really hard on was, as you rightly said, educating people about crypto, about investing, and so on and so forth. So we've created our own blog series called as Mudrex Academy, where we kind of sort of showcase and highlight what should be your investing journey. We've done, I think now close to 100 YouTube videos where we partner with different YouTube influencers and we work with them to create content. By the way, none of those, like at least none till October, were actually paid content. Those influencers agreed to work with us simply because they loved the product that we were making. And they decided to work on like a referral basis where they said that, okay, if someone joins using my link, I'll get like a referral commission, but otherwise it's completely fine. And then there was no money exchange, right? So all of that was really critical while we were, ramping up. But now that we've got the product, we know we've got great product market fit. And I know we've got great product market fit because we've got like a really, really high retention. Like over 95% of users who use Mudrex in month 1 end up coming in month 2 and month 3 and so on and so forth. So that's really great. Our user acquisition costs are really low. Our sign-up rates are really high. So now that we've got that part, we are now really pushing the pedal hard. And I think the first place that we are going back is going back to the same philosophy with which we joined Y Combinator. We are saying that if we want people to invest in us, we would want to go to places that they trust. And today, people trust YouTube channels that they follow. They trust Twitter influencers that they follow. They trust communities that they are a part of. So we are working with YouTube influencers, with Twitter influencers, with communities they are a part of to do kind of sort of giveaways, to educate the community, to tell them about our product and scale up from there. So that's awesome. That's our approach right now.
No, I'm looking at the site as we chat, and I just find that even like the onboarding and like finding portfolios and like the little questionnaires that you do, it's very, very much in line with what I usually experience when I'm trying to figure out like my risk tolerance for like a traditional stock picking or bucket picking tool. So like the UX user experience is very similar. So it makes it very comfortable.
Just last month we launched a portfolio manager product as well. Portfolio recommender product where you come in, you literally just fill out a 4-question questionnaire and then we give you some suggestions that, okay, based on this, your risk profile is this. And as a result, these are the products that will suit you best. So why don't you try them out? And it's, you know, the smaller things like this. To give you another example, one of the other things that we do to build trust, and this is something that we've realized of late, is that no matter how seamless a journey you make, some amount of human touch always helps. So as a result of that, we organize almost 6 webinars every single week across different time zones, where there is a representative from Mudrex trying to help people out, getting on a call, answering questions about crypto, about investing, about these baskets with our users. And apart from that, we've got a one-on-one help service as well called as Mudrex Select, where if you've done your onboarding journey and you're looking for places where you want to invest in, or you're not really sure how to get started, we help you out. And people as young as 15-year-olds to as old as 78-year-olds have used that service, and that's how we've gotten them on board slowly and steadily. So I think all of these small things, you know, that we've done have really helped us scale out the product.
Amazing. And I'm curious, because you're living it and you're in it so much, when you look at all these new I guess asset classes, but also like if I what I mean by asset classes, it's maybe not be the right term, but you have crypto, and then you have like Web3 projects, you have DeFi projects, you have metaverse projects, you have NFT projects. Do you feel like, and this is probably something like, you know, this is like more of a personal question, do you feel like these will all maintain the same momentum? Like, do you feel like metaverse is going to maintain the same metaverse investment and projects are going to maintain the same momentum as NFTs, and they're going to maintain the same momentum as crypto? And like, there's so many different things like that even you've captured on Mudrex, but that people can now put their money into. It's becoming a different set of confusing, right? Because if you think about it, it's almost like when you are investing in stock buckets and you invest in different groupings of stocks, right? Like, and you can invest in tech stocks, you can invest in like, you know, global stocks or North American, and you can set your risk tolerance. But there's so many different things now. So do you see them all being around in the next 10 years? Like, not even just profitable, but do you see like metaverse always being a thing, NFTs always being a thing that our people are going to invest in? Or do you see this to be more of like it's relevant now, it's something that's hot now, but in 5 years from now, we're just going to be really focused back on crypto again? Is it something that's short term or long term? Is, I guess,
but
my question.
So I think the theme will stay, but the players will change. So NFTs will be there, but the current projects doing NFTs might change, right? Metaverse will be there, but the current popular projects in metaverse will change. And in fact, I shouldn't say might, they will most likely change, because such is life, right? Like 90% of companies that were in the S&P 500 20 years ago aren't there today.
Of course.
And that's a reality. Having said that, the S&P 500 is there, and which again goes back to our argument of why thematic baskets are important. Because like a basket helps you bet in an idea and not a particular project, right? So the constituent of that that basket might continue to change over time, but the idea still remains. So metaverse as a sector will continue to grow. NFT as a sector will continue to grow, but whether the individual constituents of NFT and metaverse will grow or not, that's of course dependent on what those individual projects end up doing, what's their life cycle, how is competition, and so on and so forth.
See, what always messed with me is I understand the utility of crypto. I understand the utility of Web3 projects and even some DeFi projects. There can be like actual utility. When I look at Metaverse, I could see utility as well. Actually, NFTs in particular, I find that it's hard to tie utility to NFTs. Like, it's like even more of a, and maybe you can speak to some projects that you've seen that are counter to what I'm saying, because I'm sure there are some. And I know that, for example, like, okay, we're just going to use like cliches, like Gary V is very big on NFTs, and he speaks a lot about how you tie like NFTs to like actual tangible like events that you know. I think if he sells an NFT, he gets people who buy that NFT get access to his conference, for example. So there's like an actual tangible thing tied to it. But I see a lot of NFTs are more like an art market, right? So there isn't a lot of tangible items tied to it. Do you feel like that could be a detriment to the growth of NFTs in particular? Or do you feel like more NFT projects are starting to try and find ways to actually tie a tangible, valuable item to the purchase of artwork?
So I genuinely think we haven't even scratched the surface of what NFTs are. And let's try and for a second just talk about what an NFT is, right? Like, as the name suggests, non-fungible tokens means that it's a token that's unique. And if you look at our real world, there are actually more things that are unique than there are generic, right? For example, the books that you have behind you are fairly unique. Like the property that you own is fairly unique. The phone that you own is fairly unique. And for that matter, your resume is fairly unique. Like your identity and your status hierarchy in your, let's say, organization is fairly unique. And all of these things are fairly unique. And today, the only unique things that we've kind of sort of set up and got ready in the NFT world is essentially art. So we just literally look at one small part that actually doesn't affect a vast majority of people. So let me give you an example of how people are thinking about NFTs. So there's a friend of mine who's building a project out in the DAO tooling space. By that, what I mean is that they are helping DAOs figure out how should they get their contributors to work together. And one interesting idea that they are working on is that how can they create an NFT resume of everyone? Which means that it's an on-chain resume that has these 15 different properties. And for the sake of simplicity, let's say that on that resume, there is a property that says tech. And in that tech part, you have some skills for Python, some skills for Java, some skills for front end, and so on and so forth. So they're trying to figure out a way as how can they create this resume using NFT rewards that individual DAOs can give to their contributors and scale up from there. So effectively, how do you kind of sort of attribute unique properties, unique contribution that you give, get that on chain and make sure that that's cemented and stays there? So from the NFT specific perspective, I think we are literally just scratching the surface. And as time progresses, all the things that we felt were unique goods or services in the real world will probably continue to move towards the internet and the digital world via this route. Now, of course, a lot of these might become completely useless. For example, a ticket to a conference can be made into an NFT, but once the conference is done, that NFT is basically useless. Like, what are you going to do with a ticket stub? And that's perfectly fine, right? So as a result, how does that NFT have long-term value is a separate problem. And things like art do have long-term value. Things like a particular project that you did for a particular company on your resume does have long-term value, but a ticket stub to a conference does not. And we should be okay with that. Different purposes for it.
What I think was interesting was I always found the tokenization of things to make sense, tokenization of unique IP to make sense. But then it seemed like NFT became synonymous with art for some strange reason, just because, like you're saying, it was like the first iteration of NFT. It's just scratching the surface. Correct. But there's so many other ways that tokenizing something so that it can be transferred and not duplicated and tracked can be a very useful mechanism.
Absolutely.
If you 100%. But I thought it was strange that there was blockchain companies that were trying to tokenize different things, records, like all these different items, like fixing supply chain issues and whatnot, like through tokenization of data points almost. And then it just turned into like a whole bunch of artwork, which is just strange.
Well, think of it this way, right? Pets.com went bust in 1999, but there is an entire gamut of online pet companies now that are thriving and growing rapidly, right?
So
it's not necessary that the first iteration should work out, right? Like, it's the attempts that people are trying to do, and that's why this space is so hot, right? Like, the smartest minds of our generation today are saying that the world and how are essentially coming back and saying that how the world has evolved over the last 300, 400, 500 years fundamentally needs to change if we want to move more and more and more towards the internet. And Web3 is all about capturing, attributing, and transferring value for the value that individuals are trying to create, whether that be the value created via a service, whether that be the value created via a good or whatever. And crypto and blockchain truly opens that space up, right? That's why it's very unique, and that's why it's like inherently attractive to so many smart people, and it just continues from there, right?
And last question on this. As you see all these different categories and sections, like we see like NFT and DeFi and crypto and Web3 and metaverse, are there any sectors that are not popular yet that you found? Like, what is the future evolution of some of these sectors that may not be categorized yet, that like you in particular are excited about because they're so new? Is there something that we haven't heard of?
Correct. So like, and again, this is another conversation that I was just having last week with a friend of mine. See, One very interesting sector that I really like is that is how are you getting people together and getting them to work, right? Like, all of crypto is essentially communities coming together, working on a small problem, solving that problem, and moving ahead to the next problem, right? Like, that's basically all of crypto is, which means that in the traditional world, we had companies, now we had communities. Now, if this analogy is true, in the traditional world, we had tech agencies help out companies with their tech. We had marketing agencies help out companies with their marketing. We had HR agencies help out companies with their HR. We had payroll agencies help out companies with their payroll, right? And if all of these kind of sort of SaaS services were built out around companies to help them either serve their employees or their customers better, I expect all of this to get recreated in the community side as well, right? Because at the end of the day, the problems remain the same. Does the nature in which they are executed change? So communities today need help with how should they get their contributors to contribute more. Communities need help in terms of keeping their users sticky. Communities need help in terms of outreaching to their users in kind of sort of an on-chain way without having an email address attached and associated with them, right? And I think this Web3 SaaS effective kind of sort of industry is now just going to get kickstarted off, because I think we've now reached like a critical mass of communities and DAOs where it starts to make sense for me to build businesses and tools that help contribute and improve the kind of set of DAOs and communities that are. And I think the next couple of years will actually be, we'll actually end up seeing a lot of companies come out in this space that will help communities out.
Smart, very smart. Okay, I want to do some rapid fire to close off, just to pull out your experience. But before we pivot, any closing thoughts on Mudrex, on where you want to take the company, the vision, and also where can people connect with you, go find out more about the company, all the links, the websites, social, all that?
Yes, so we are on mudrex.com. It's fairly straightforward, mudrex.com. You can find us on Twitter, on LinkedIn, with basically the same name. I personally can be reached out on edul@mudrex.com. And what we will do is, after this call, we will also share like a referral link with you guys. So anyone who joins in get like $25 credit on Mudrex itself. So that should help out. And of course, with Mudrex, we're doing a lot of things, especially in the investing space, and we want to make this better. And we rely on user feedback a lot. So anyone who wants to give feedback, that'll always be great. And I am actually directly accessible to all our users. There are emails that go out from my name to all our users when users get onboarded. So feel free to reply to that. It's always me at the other end getting back to you.
Good, very good. Okay, so let's do a couple rapid fire. Biggest challenge that you've overcome in your own personal and professional life? What was that? How did you overcome
saying
it?
No to things.
Saying no. Okay, that's smart. Yeah. Why is that? Explain.
Well, like very early on, I realized that like most other founders and then folks, you just want to try and do more and more and more and more and more things, right? Mm-hmm. But eventually realize that when I'm trying to do more and more and more and more things, none of the things that I'm taking up, I'm able to try and do to the fullest extent possible. So realize that if I start saying no to some of these things that I don't care about right now or that are not urgent right now, then I can focus on things that actually do really matter and take things up from there. And that I think has been really, really hard to do. Because the allure of saying yes to something is just so high that it is difficult to go back control and say that, okay, this is what we are not doing right now. So let's focus on just this and move ahead from here.
Very good. If you had to choose one person, there's obviously been many, but pick one person who's been a major impact in your life. Who was that and what did they teach you?
Yeah, this is a tough one. But I would say that in my previous company, I used to work very closely with a colleague of mine while I was head of product. He was our CPO, and he really helped me out a lot. And it was mostly just conversations and one-on-ones that have helped kind of sort of shape my worldview today, and have been instrumental in helping me get to where I am as such. Okay.
If you had to pick a book or podcast, something that's been influential in your life, what would it be?
Oh, the book Influence, I think, comes first. It's a book by Robert Cialdini. And effectively, that's my guide. That book has given me a set of guiding principles of essentially operating in life broadly. That these are like the 5-6 things that you can do to move ahead with. But there are a whole ton of books that I really love. I enjoy reading books. And another one that I really like is Thinking Fast and Slow by David Kahneman and the entire philosophy around prospect theory and everything around it is just so fascinating that's helped me become a better person and hopefully a better product manager and a person who listens to users' thoughts more.
Very good. If you could tell your 20-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
Be patient. I think patience is something that it's a long drawn virtue to get to. But be patient is something that I would definitely tell.
And last question, what does success mean to you?
I think just at the end of the day, going back home and being happy. Like I think I'm pretty successful right now because I'm going to go home pretty happy.
I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins, and I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it. Each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform, accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win. Efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/ScottClary. That's netsuite.com linkedin.com/ScottClary. Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs, and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours? That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Think back to your last few days in the office. Did any of them leave you feeling really accomplished? Not the kind of day where you're running around like crazy, but where you've made real progress on something that matters. Because being busy doesn't always mean being productive. And I bet you we've all been there. And maybe it's time to rethink what it means to get things done. Today's episode is sponsored by Belay, and what they help you do is, instead of getting sucked into emails and to-do lists, they help you delegate tasks and focus on big goals. They can connect you with top-notch US-based talent who are ready to take on those time-consuming tasks that bog you down. Let's be real. There are way more important things you could be doing than bookkeeping or wrangling a packed inbox. They have virtual assistants to handle all of those pesky administrative tasks, or accounting professional to take care of all your financials. But here's the best part. You don't have to waste weeks searching for the right person. Belay's personalized matching service works quickly, sometimes matching you with the right talent to take stuff off your plate in under a week. Are you ready to try a different way of working? Check out Belay's list of the top 25 things you can delegate to a virtual assistant. It might just change your business and your life. Text SUCCESS, that's SUCCESS, to 55123 to get the list and to start transforming your to-do list with Belay.